You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Android encryption issues are under study. Experts consider the implications of D-Link vulnerabilities for IoT security. The Wendy's pay card breach has gotten much bigger. Familiar exploits circulate in the wild, and Mac backdoors make a comeback. Cryptex is joined by a new ransomware variant, CryptoBit, and DeadCryptor continues to play the Grinch. Avast's purchase of AVG encourages the markets. The EU adopts new data regulations aimed at improving resilience. The FBI explains what it found in its investigations of Hillary Clinton's emails, and defense attorneys find new lines of defense. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary and week in review for Friday, June 8, 2016. Another encryption issue surfaces in the Android ecosystem. Orange Labs reports that Android's KeyStore default implementation could be susceptible to forgery attacks. It's a proof of concept, not an attack in the wild, but the news is nonetheless unwelcome. Orange Labs says KeyStore's hash then encrypt authenticated encryption scheme in cipher block chaining mode doesn't guarantee the key's integrity. The researchers admit that criminal exploitation wouldn't be easy. It would, for one thing, require that the victim install a malicious application that needed KeyStore read-write permission. They disclosed their findings to Google in January. This report joins concerns expressed earlier this week about Android's Keymaster module, whose Qualcomm environment was found vulnerable to reverse engineering. Qualcomm says that it fixed the vulnerabilities in 2014 and so informed Google. If there's still a problem here, one infers it's not Qualcomm's. Some follow-up to the D-Link device vulnerability. It affects not only routers, but web-connected cameras and other consumer IoT devices as well. Michael Patterson, founder of Plixer, points out that the risk here is widespread and may prove difficult to contain. Taking smart TVs as an example of the issues that arise with the connected home, he said, quote, "I fear that some manufacturers may not be patching the OS of old TVs, as most don't require any type of subscription for updates," end quote. Thus, consumer electronics may be making another contribution to the botnet world. Wendy's, the U.S. fast food restaurant chain, has determined that the payment card data breach it sustained when criminals gained access to its network late last fall was more extensive than previously believed. More than 1,000 restaurants were affected, and Wendy's thinks the attackers gained access to the company's network through some third party or parties. Service providers' remote access credentials, the company said, appear to have been compromised. Some observers think the chain needs to consider a radical response, decommission and replace its current infrastructure. Brad Busey, director of product manager at StealthBits, told us that, quote, "The most logical thing to do in this instance is to invest in protecting your brand and deploy new servers to all Wendy's locations. The damage the malware has caused and will continue to cause can't be assigned a simple monetary value. The reputation of Wendy's is at stake, and the quickest and most controlled way to eradicate the hack is to decommission the current store's infrastructure," end quote. He thinks Wendy's might do well to be guided by an analogy with farming. Quote, "When the breadth and depth of an infestation is unknown, it makes the most sense to burn your fields, till the earth, and start over," end quote. We often hear about the contribution data analytics can make to security and how big data analytics in particular can offer insight into defense. Malek Ben Salem from our partners at Accenture Labs talked us through big data and big data analytics. We'll hear from her after the break. Elsewhere in cyberspace, the Covtor click fraud malware is posing as a Firefox update. Users of the Firefox browser should exercise caution. Banks in Japan are sustaining a wave of Beblo Trojan infestations, and the venerable NetTraveler spy tool, which researchers have been tracking since 2012, has returned to targets in Eastern Europe. Mac backdoors are also making a comeback. ESET has found another, Keydnap, which is hunting passwords in Mac keychains. The advantage in ransomware seems, for the moment, to be shifting back toward the criminals. Sucuri has observed a new variant, CryptoBit, being distributed in a campaign called Real Statistics. Real Statistics, which is also pushing the more familiar Cryptex, is using the Neutrino exploit kit and exploiting compromised websites based on the Joomla or WordPress content management systems. Cryptex itself has grown harder to track. It's being distributed in more effectively obfuscated forms, as, for example, in pseudo DarkLeech. It now directs victims to a new .onion site for payment. Payment still accepted in Bitcoin, of course, but it's now removed the customer service support it once provided its victims in order to make it easier for them to cough up their ransom. Dead Cryptor, the ransomware that struts its stuff as an evil Santa Claus, or more properly, as our editor pedantically insists, an evil Dead Moros, is spreading out a bit from its Russian heartland and infecting more English-speaking users, and removes the opportunity to contact customer service. Dead Cryptor is still asking for 2 Bitcoin, about $1,300, if you want to be taken off the naughty list.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
And joining me once again is Malek Ben Salem. She's the R&D manager for security at Accenture Technology Labs. Malek, I know one thing you wanted to share with us today is your take on how big data can help with analytics.
Absolutely. I think big data technology is enabling new security analytics use cases and applications. You know, companies today struggle with their security analytics if they're only collecting data or acting upon data, such as security alerts and events collected by their SIM tools, the security information and event management tools, or by looking at their logs from their firewall servers. Those are just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the things that they are, the types of data that they can analyze. The reason why they cannot analyze more data is prior to this is because we didn't have these big data repositories. But today, with technologies like big data frameworks, Hadoop-based frameworks, where storage is no longer a problem, we can collect a lot more and act upon a lot more data. For example, we're no longer limited to web application firewall data. You can look at your user web browsing behaviors. You can gather data about malware from the internet. You can gather data like, you know, what are the blacklists and watch lists, and link that to malware that you see to understand what's going on within your network. You can use business process data to understand how your applications are doing and identify if they're undergoing an attack. You can leverage social media activity, email data, to understand or to analyze your employees' behavior and identify if there are any insider threats within your company. So a new range of use cases, a new range of applications are enabled by the ability of being able to link structured and unstructured data through these big data frameworks, big data repositories, and big data processing capabilities.
Malek Bensalem, thanks for joining us.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
In industry news, Avast's move to buy competing and complementary security company AVG for $1.3 billion has had a generally positive effect on the markets. The acquisition seems both a bid for a geographically wider market and an IoT security play. Cybersecurity exchange-traded funds enjoyed a nice bounce on the news. The acquisition is also regarded as an auspicious sign for prospective sellers, notably Intel, which is interested in finding a buyer for its security unit, and for companies like FireEye that are perennial subjects of acquisition speculation. We wanted a take on the current state of the early-stage startup ecosystem, and so we spoke with Bob Stratton of the Mach 37 Cyber Accelerator to gain some perspective.
Our focus is restricted to things that are specifically oriented around cybersecurity products. We started in September 2013, and since then have helped launch 35 security product startup companies.
Mach 37 is located in Northern Virginia, and Stratton says from the outset, being in the mid-Atlantic was a deliberate choice.
What was then an intuition, and which I now actually can prove, is that we had perhaps the highest density of security expertise in any region in the world in the mid-Atlantic area. And more recently, that's been borne out because I know there was at least one analysis done across all of the security people that could be found on LinkedIn. And about half were found to be in the U.S., and the single biggest concentration of security expertise in that group was in the Washington-Baltimore area at around 6%, whereas the closest runners-up were New York and Silicon Valley, and they were both in the 2% range. So what was an intuition for us has been borne out, which is that we're in an area that has the people who understand the threat and understand the problem. However, the economy in this region tends to be very service-oriented. And one of the things that we've often wondered about is, you know, why don't we see more product companies out of the Mid-Atlantic region? given that we have all this talent here that understands this stuff? And the answers to that come down to a couple of things. Access to capital, investment capital, is certainly one big factor. And another is that a lot of the people that start these kinds of companies tend to be technical founders. They tend to have come from the technical track initially and may not, if you're talking about a first-time CEO, for example, they may not have been through some of the more management, traditional business history that, you know, startups in other sectors, those founders might have come from. So we realized that in order to address kind of all of those things, you needed to do a couple of things. One is you needed to create an ecosystem that would foster access to capital and customers, frankly. But also, we decided that a curriculum was in order. So unlike a lot of other accelerators where the program may consist of office hours with mentors and a dinner once a week, we actually built a 14-week program that is oriented to what my partner, our managing partner, Rick Gordon, calls the cumulatively exhaustive set of things a startup CEO needs to know.
Mach 37 typically engages with startups early in the business life cycle.
We are usually the first money into a company, first outside investor into a company. We can and have taken a range of companies that span from a good idea on the proverbial cocktail napkin to companies that have come to us having built a product and having got customers and revenue. And we can tailor the program to the extent we need to, depending on that. But in general, they have not even raised a formal seed round yet, in many cases. So what happens a lot of the time is that right when they come out, that's the point where we're helping them do fundraising for a more formal structured seed round before they even think about going to a Series A.
Stratton says Mach 37 focuses on product-based startups for a number of reasons. There's the obvious one, of course, that product companies often provide the best return on investment. But equally important, according to Stratton, is the issue of scalability.
The reality is you have a lot of very talented people working on the service side of this, and none of us scale. This problem is huge, right? We continually hear about we can't hire enough people. We have all of these roles that need to be filled. We can't get enough analysts. At the end of the day, if you're in a position, if you have some expertise that you can encapsulate into some mechanism that's reproducible, you may have the opportunity in some small way to be in more places than one at once and do more work than 8 hours a day if you can embody that expertise into a product. And so if you even just look at it from the cybersecurity problem writ large, and ask yourself the question, how can I achieve the maximal impact on this problem? There's an argument to be made that we need better products that solve more problems more effectively than we do now.
Bob Stratton also shared some advice based on his experience working with so many startups.
I've seen more worthwhile security product startups hurt out of an unwillingness to talk about what they're doing than I have ever seen hurt because somebody took their idea. Ideas are a dime a dozen, and they may be brilliant, but execution at the end of the day is really what matters. And so because of our nature as security people, we tend to be very private and very concerned about telling you what we're doing and maybe even, dare I say it, a little bit paranoid. I've seen far more people hurt themselves by being cagey and not engaging with people who might be able to help them than I have ever seen hurt because somebody stole their idea.
That's Bob Stratton from the Mach 37 Cybersecurity Accelerator. The name Mach 37, by the way, comes from the speed at which an object must be going to reach escape velocity from Earth. So yeah, pretty cool. In policy news, as companies continue to mull the possible effects of Brexit, the European Union has moved to adopt new cybersecurity rules. Red Seal CEO Ray Rothrock had this to say about the EU's regulations. Quote, "The EU's new cybersecurity rules are an important step forward. Fundamentally, they recognize that perimeter defenses, while necessary, are not sufficient to stop and, more importantly, recover from a successful cyber attack or disruption. Networks supporting critical services, such as banking, power distribution, drinking water, and healthcare, must be resilient. A new focus on resilience will help enterprises manage what goes on inside the firewalls on their networks and continue to deliver services critical in a civil society. End quote. And finally, the big story this week in the U.S. involved the FBI's decision not to recommend indictment of former Secretary of State Clinton for mishandling classified information. FBI Director Comey testified before the House Oversight Committee yesterday. In essence, he said that while the former secretary was extremely careless, there was insufficient evidence of criminal intent to sustain a prosecution. There are some gestures in Congress to deprive the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee of access to classified information, but there's also movement toward other investigations. The State Department is reopening its own inquiry, and the House Oversight Committee strongly hinted it would be asking the FBI to open a perjury investigation. And defendants in other cases involving the handling of classified information are already invoking the standards implied in the email investigation as they move for dismissal or acquittal.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.
Today's episode is sponsored by SRM, your first call for cybersecurity and investigations. Threats today are evolving faster than ever before, and since 2005, SRM has pioneered tailored security solutions for global corporations and their executives. Whether it's defending against cyber attacks with their award-winning team of ethical hackers and incident response specialists, or navigating the murky waters of compliance and ESG challenges, SRM's insight and straightforward advice will help you navigate complex risks and emerge more resilient. Their secret? A culture that nurtures the sharpest minds, giving them access to the newest technologies and the freedom to solve problems in new ways, enabling them to craft simple, effective solutions for your unique cyber challenges. Search Your First Call to discover how SRM can help your business.